This is the whole effing show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to, you know it, that's right, another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
They got the answers. I change the question.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
Another wrestling podcast. Now can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome everybody to another wrestling podcast. I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And I'm Steve Credo.
Steve, for anybody that's out there listening right now, thank you for tuning in, first of all. Second of all, Steve, why are they listening to another wrestling podcast?
Well, Jonathan, I'm glad you said that. Guys and gals, if you're listening to another wrestling podcast, it's because we're like no other wrestling podcast. We're doing something different. You know, you guys and girls, you listen to all these podcasts out there, and, you know, they're great and whatnot. You know, you guys are talking about Raw, you're talking about TNA, you're talking about Ring of Honor, you're talking about the shows that you watch. But here, we like to talk about topics. We like to pick a topic, stick with it, and talk about it. I mean, because, you know, Jonathan, we could talk about what we see on TV day and night, but, you know, hey, we're just trying to do something different for you kids out there, you know?
I call us the undisputed champion of professional wrestling podcasts. We are probably one of the most interactive podcasts out there. We have a website. It's anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. We have our own hotline that you can call in anytime, day or night, and talk to us about wrestling. Tell us that we suck. Tell us that we're great. Tell us what you think we should do on our show, guests we should get. Hey, maybe you're a wrestler out there and you're thinking, hey, I want to get on the show. Call us at 802-297-7672. And you know what? We'll play the best calls on air.
Yo, what up, Credo? What up, JB? Angry Cooter, the social assassin of the mark. I'm going to throw something out there. I had the pleasure of hanging out with Sabu one night at a Northeast wrestling show. And let me explain something to you. This is one of the coolest, most down-to-earth dudes I have ever met on God's green earth. And for some hoe-ass to talk shit about a real legend, listen, makes me want to spit this vodka that I'm sipping on right in his face, because Sabu was one of the best and one of the greatest of all time.
We're not cut from the same mold as all the other wrestling podcasts out there. So with that being said, I know that we have got an amazing show today, and I know that it may end up being a little controversial. What do you think?
Yeah, that's right, Jonathan. We have with us today, guys, the homicidal, the genocidal, the suicidal Sabu will be joining us in a little bit in the studio. He's going to talk to us about something that went down about a week ago with Pro Wrestling Syndicate, PWS, down in New Jersey. So stay tuned for that, guys, because he's going to answer, you know, some of the controversy that's been going around, and we'll see what he has to say about it.
Well, Steve, I think that you just inadvertently figured out what we were going to talk about today. We have Sabu on, so we could talk about a billion different things regarding Sabu, but I think that we should just kind of stick with hardcore wrestling. Now, if you go back and listen to some of our other podcasts, we talked with Tommy Dreamer, we've talked with, you know, some amazing hardcore wrestlers before, but we haven't really talked about hardcore wrestling in general and our thoughts on the subject. So I think that should be it. Do you have any objections with that topic today?
Hey, man, it's the hardcore show. Let's do it up. I mean, there's a lot to talk about hardcore wrestling. I mean, you can even go back to, like, backyard wrestling and all that crap, but not that much. I want to talk about hardcore wrestling. You know, ECW, CZW, you know, Japan, all that kind of stuff. Jonathan, I mean, growing up watching pro wrestling, you know, I would have to say ECW was definitely the first kind of hardcore show that I was watching. You know, they were doing stuff nobody was doing, at least from in my TV. You know, so they were kind of like the first hardcore gateway drug, if you will, to a different type of wrestling, to where you got your wrestling, but then you also got your kendo sticks and your tables and your flaming tables and your thumbtacks and anything and everything. So, I don't know, would you consider ECW the gateway drug for you for hardcore wrestling?
Well, I'm from a different land, and we've talked about this probably to death, but in the Midwest, we didn't really have ECW. I didn't see my first ECW product until ECW was almost already out of the picture. But what I did have was USWA. I did have Memphis Wrestling. I had a lot of different promotions in the Midwest that were doing somewhat hardcore-esque type matches way before ECW was even born. You would see a lot of people in Memphis, they would take the flash paper out of their tights, and then, you know, they would burn somebody, and it would be a week, and they would have an eye patch on, or they would run somebody through a table, or even, you know, looking back at when the Four Horsemen broke Dusty Rhodes' legs, that to me was really the humble beginnings of hardcore wrestling. It's not as glamorous and it's not as publicized, but I think that there's some deep rooted hardcore wrestling that happened way before ECW and all the other promotions.
Sure, yeah. I remember even watching ECW, you know, right around when Cactus Jack was in there, and I definitely was a big fan of Cactus Jack. I was, when I first saw him, you know, I started looking up more info about him, and then I found all his VHS tapes at, you know, like local indie shows or something like that, where, you know, just buying VHS tapes, and I bought a lot of his, you know, Cactus Jack in Japan tapes, and man, crazy stuff, brutal stuff with Terry Funk. Like, I didn't even know what I was watching. I don't think my parents even knew what kind of videos that I had right here, and it wasn't like, oh no, they found a porno or something. This was like guys killing each other in Japan, and I don't think they really knew about that. So it was kind of like, hey, I guess you could find anything at these shows or whatever. So that kind of enlightened me to like what the hell was going on in the world with hardcore matches. But man, some of those Cactus Jack matches in Japan, man, he is nuts. I give him credit for all the crap he's done, but man, I don't know. How are you with hardcore matches, Jonathan? Because it's like, okay, if they have a tables, ladders, chair match or whatnot, it's okay. But I'm talking like hardcore matches, like CZW, man. They have some crazy stuff. I've never personally been at a CZW show, but I mean, just the stuff that I've seen online with the light bulbs and, you know, all that crap, man. That's crazy. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that stuff? Because I don't know. It's wrestling, but it's not. It's these guys, man. Ugh, I hope they're getting paid good. That's what I'm saying.
I think that there's a time and place for almost everything in professional wrestling, and hardcore wrestling is no different. I think that if it helps enhance a storyline, or if there's a point to it, then it's fine in my book. Just the senseless, ridiculous, let's see how we can bleed on each other, and let's, you know, have bombs and all that stuff, it really doesn't appeal to me as much as like a pure wrestling match, I'll say. But there's definitely some entertainment value to it. Going back to what you said about those videos of Cactus Jack in Japan, a lot of that stuff was almost too, it was borderline with me. It felt like I was watching a snuff film or, you know, something. Yeah. Something where somebody was legitimately getting murdered, and this was back before CSI or Criminal Minds or any of that stuff. So I wasn't really exposed to that. Even when someone would get burned in Memphis Wrestling or whatever, it was just more of the illusion that someone got burned. They weren't really taking like a torch to someone's face. And I feel like in Japan, when they had the bomb matches and all that stuff, and even in CZW, sometimes I feel like it may go a little too overboard. But you know what? They've got a specific audience that they are catering their product to, and those people love it. And I'm not one to tell anybody not to watch it. But for me, it's just not exactly the best thing that I think I could see in wrestling.
Sure. Yeah, I know. And it's definitely unique. It's definitely, like you said, a time and place for it. And, you know, like I said, I'm a Cactus Jack fan. I love watching his stuff, but I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that going on out there. I mean, guys, let us know. Tweet us at A Wrestling Pod, A Wrestling Pod. Let us know, you know, what are some of your favorite hardcore matches or promotions, or I don't know, you know, bring it up to us. Let us know. We'll try to interact with you, because that's the whole point of it, guys. But Jonathan, we could talk day and night about hardcore wrestling, which we will. But coming up right now, we have Sabu joining us. We're going to get down to the bottom of this, Jonathan. You know, a lot of controversy, what we were saying in the beginning about, you know, what happened with him in PWS. But, Jonathan, here at Another Wrestling Podcast, you know, we take pride in the people who we bring on. And, you know, we have to hear both sides of the story, right?
Absolutely. We do this podcast for not only ourselves, so we love doing this, but we do it for the fans. And when we hear that somebody, whether it be a promotion, a promoter, a wrestler, whenever there's something that comes up, you know, there's a lot of stories that go out there, and we're trying to find out, we're trying to get to the bottom of all this. So that's why we felt the need to bring Sabu on, and what you're hearing is exactly his story. So without further ado, let's hear from Sabu.
Right, joining us today is the homicidal, suicidal, genocidal, death-defying maniac, a man who's wrestled all over the world and then some, an ECW original, a former world champ, and without a doubt, a man with no fear when it comes to the world of hardcore wrestling. Please welcome Sabu.
Thank you.
Now, Sabu, it's a treat to speak with you. It's a rarity in the world of professional wrestling that you grant people interviews, so we thank you so much. We'll have some questions about the PWS in a little bit, but first, let's talk a little bit about you.
Now, it's widely known that you were trained by your uncle, the original Sheik, to be a technical wrestler, but at what point did doing hardcore matches appeal to you?
When I went to Japan. Well, they always did, but then I wasn't allowed to do them, you know, do the stuff I do now. Anybody that first started. Mm-hmm. So I practiced it, but I could never use it. And then when I went to Japan, I got to show it off, you know.
Sure. Now, what was it like teaming with your uncle? I mean, did you learn a lot from him on the road? I know you guys teamed a lot when you were with him in Japan.
Well, yeah, of course. I was, you know, he was enslaved for 20 years. So, yeah, I learned everything from him.
Now, you're known for being a cornerstone in ECW and even went on to win the ECW World Championship, defeating Terry Funk early on in your career. But besides winning the world title, what would you consider a highlight for you in your ECW tenure?
I don't consider winning a belt a highlight. That's really that's kind of bullshit. You know, the belt's not mean shit to me. And so that wasn't the highlight. I had other highlights that were better than that. I mean, I meant more than that. Other than, the highlight was the Terry Funk not winning that belt. I didn't care about that belt. I cared about wrestling him. You know?
Sure.
The feud I had with RVD, you know, everybody thinks the feud I had with Taz was the big thing, and it was sort of, but the one I enjoyed the very most was with, you know, RVD.
Now, I personally don't like asking the what's your favorite match question, but did you ever have a favorite hardcore match that you always tried to top and beat? Because I keep remembering your no-rope barbed wire match with Terry Funk at Born to be Wired, a match which was promoted as being too extreme for ECW.
Yeah, I wanted to, you know, better than that match, but I never really had the opportunity to have the right opponent or the, you know, the right place to do it. Because I only had... Probably, I think, two barbed wire matches out of Japan. Only because I didn't want to abuse it here, and no one wanted to pay me for them.
Yeah.
Now, you've had a litany of injuries throughout your ECW tenure, including broken ribs, a broken jaw, and breaking your neck twice. At any point, did you ever say to yourself, I don't really want to do this, or I can't do it anymore? Or did it just kind of come with the territory?
It just comes with the territory. I never thought it was the end or that it would, you know, it might slow me down. I never thought anything could stop me, really.
With that being said, who have you worked with that you consider a tough SOB like yourself?
You know, Terry Funk, of course, and, you know, RVD, of course, you know.
All right.
Taz is pretty tough sometimes when he wasn't being a pussy.
All right. Now, I heard this story. You gotta kind of let me know a little bit about this if you can. From what I know, you're immune to bullets, because from what I heard, and you can tell me if this is true or not, but when you first broke your neck, you got an X-ray scan, and you found fragments of bullets in your face. As it turned out, I think from what I saw is that when you were 18, you're at a house party, and someone started shooting up at the party, and you know, thinking if it was one of your friends had that you thought that one of your friends had been shot, and you tackled the shooter who shot you point blank right in the face, and the bullet shattered upon impact.
Yeah, of course.
So you're pretty much the human Superman right now, which no bullet can even destroy, Sabu.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, it just about destroyed me, but I got lucky, I guess.
Sure, man.
That was very accurate, other than I was 19 instead of 18. But other than that, what you said was very accurate.
All right.
Being a part of ECW kind of comes with a lot of mystery. We've heard a lot of crazy stories went on back then. What would you say the craziest backstage incident that you were ever involved in was?
Yes and no. A couple of times Sandman ran around naked and stuff and caused trouble and a couple of fights and stuff. That was, you know, it's funny, but I don't know. It was just every day, you know, every day was something different.
All right, Sabu. Now, recently, the PWS, the Pro Wrestling Syndicate in New Jersey, the owners, they made some accusations about you. They claimed that they found drug paraphernalia, blood, and dog feces were found in your hotel room. What happened there that night, Sabu, and how would you like to respond to them and your fans?
For one, it's funny as hell, and the truth is not as good as what they made it sound like. It was awesome. It wasn't as awesome as they think, as what they reported. you know, drugs, blood, and feces, that was great. I mean, that sounds like a great movie. I'm going to tell you the truth, why they bashed me and why they pulled this shit. Because I refused to put over the fat-ass fucking Japanese prick that they wanted me to put over, who I never heard of. And they know, I'm sorry to be mad, because this is, I'm probably going to tell you why they pulled this shit. It's because they know I get paid more to put over an asshole. And I'm not saying that as an asshole. I mean, a nobody. I'm sorry, he's a nobody, but he is. And what they do, this fuckhead company out of New Jersey, they bring in big talent, big name talent, and put over their dronies, which is fine. So I'm not one of those guys that do that, and they knew that from the beginning. And so they pulled it on me twice. I let it go, and they pulled it on me again, so I didn't let it go. So we had a little disagreement. And then afterwards, you're saying I tore this hotel room up with pictures and all this bullshit, with shit all over the place and a dog. And they're right. I had a dog and made a mess. There was no shit. There was no drugs. There was no needles. There was blood because, you know, I bleed, and that's the way it is. And I had to bleed all over the place. I bled in the bed and probably bled in the shower curtain. But they made it sound like I murdered somebody in that room sacrificed my dog and shit all over the room, you know, and it sounds great, but that's not true. They said they had a bill stating that the hotel owed all this. That bill, when we checked in, I checked in under my name, and my credit card was not denied like they said it was. And so the bill that we gave when we checked out had my name on it, not theirs. The bill they're showing, taking pictures of, has Pat Bunn's name on it. So fuck him. Must have shit all over the place and bled and killed somebody in the room, you know, and sacrificed the dog. But the truth is, it was so funny, I didn't really want to respond to it, because the way they made it, it sounded better than the truth. It sounded like I'm a rock star and I'm, you know, and having a great time.
Of course.
You know, and I am having a great time, but not that great a time.
Of course.
Now, in regards to the promotion side of the wrestling business, do you think that should be kept behind closed doors? You know, this promotion also gave out a wrestler's personal cell phone number because he couldn't make a show. Do you think this is the right way to do business, or do you think this is bad business?
Yeah, they make excuses why you don't show up, not the truth, like you miss a flight, you know, on accident or, you know, act of God somehow. And then they'll say, like, you can see he's at an airport or he was too drunk or too drugged up. They're even saying I was drugged up in the ring, which is full of shit. Because, you know, those fucking jerks out of New Jersey said that I was so high, I didn't know I was announced. I made them announce me again. I guess they'd never seen none of my matches. I make the motherfucker entry twice on the way to the ring, in the ring. Because when I'm in the ring, I want to be announced again, like an official notification this match is underway, not a fucking... just a show, you know.
Sure, exactly.
You know, I'm sorry to be talking like I am, but you know, they piss me off.
No, it's not a problem at all. This is what everybody wants to hear. I mean, people want to hear your side of it. And that, this is, you know, perfect. This is great. This is what it's all about right now. Well, regardless of that incident, I mean, to get a little bit back on track with stuff, I mean, if you have anything else to say, please feel free to say it, but I'm just going to ask you a few more questions. You know, your career has had quite the longevity compared to a lot of others. Is there any secret to that? Because, I mean, a lot of guys your age, I mean, you know, a lot of guys have retired or whatnot, can't do it anymore, but you know, I feel like you don't age in the ring. I mean, there's nothing can stop you, you know.
Yeah. Well, see, I grew up watching my uncle, and I broke in, you know, for the first 20 years, catered to my uncle, so I watched, he's old already, but he never said I was old. He just says, I don't feel good today, or I feel good today, and he was old, but he never had that old mindset. He always had a young state of mind, so I learned that from him, and I hear guys that are younger than me saying, oh, I'm too old to do this. I'm saying, like, how old are you? And they'll say, like, 35. I go, fuck, I'm 50. What the fuck are you talking about, you know? But and when I was 35, I was jamming. I wasn't thinking about being old. And then I just started thinking about being old recently.
Sure.
Now, there's no signs of slowing down for you, but will there ever be a last match for Sabu where you actually completely retire?
Well, there's got to be sometime, and me and Van Damme kind of agreed, you know, in the very beginning that our last match was together, you know. I'm not sure when it's going to be exactly, but it won't be that far away, you know, a couple of years from now, hopefully not.
Sure.
You know, sooner than that.
Yeah, well, just curious, and if you could give any piece of advice to any up-and-comer getting in the business, or maybe one who is into the hardcore style, what would you tell them, if there was one thing you could tell them?
First, learn basic wrestling. Now, I didn't start out doing hardcore bullshit. I started out smash wrestler, hand-to-hand wrestling, very rarely hitting the ropes, never going out of the ring, no flying stuff, just hand-to-hand basic shit, boring stuff that you have to learn. Every good wrestler knows this stuff. Anybody who made it knows this stuff. The guys who don't make it don't know the basics, and they just go from learning how to lock up to bashing someone on a chair. There's a lot of steps in between that. I took years between that before anybody with a chair. Actually, like 5 years before I ever used a chair. 5 years before I ever bled. You know, 5 years before I ever left outside of the ring. I left the ring for the, you know, left foot outside of the ring, you know.
Sure.
But my advice is that don't focus on hardcore wrestling. Focus on normal wrestling, and then hardcore wrestling comes later. That's the easy shit. Hardcore's easy. Anybody can bash each other.
All right, once again, Sabu, thanks for joining us. Guys at PWS, if you want to, you know, come on the show and let us know any more info about what Sabu said, please feel free. That's why we're here. But anybody else, you know, listening to it, let us know your thoughts, guys. You know, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. You can find all of our links on there. Email, Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff. Let us know what you thought about what Sabu had to say tonight. And Jonathan, for everybody listening out there, guys, you heard Sabu. And in case you miss it, in a few weeks, you know, we'll probably put it up on our YouTube page with all of our other interviews. And we also do a lot of YouTube exclusives and a lot of other stuff that just goes directly to our YouTube with videos, interviews, and whatnot. So, guys, if you're listening, head on over to YouTube. Look for Another Wrestling Podcast or go to youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod. You can only fit so many characters in a name for these stupid sites. But, guys, check it out. This week we talked to Box Brown about his, you know, Andre the Giant book that he penned. Is that the right thing to say? Penned or cartooned?
Yes. Well, I guess a little of both. But a great interview with Box Brown. He kind of maybe let a little bit of a spoiler out that this wouldn't be the last of his wrestling books. So go on and check out him and check out our interview and all of our other interviews at youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod.
That's right. Now, Jonathan, hardcore, we're talking about hardcore matches. We talked to one of the greatest hardcore wrestlers. We talked to one of the greatest hardcore wrestlers around, Sabu. But, Jonathan, let's talk about some of favorite hardcore matches. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff out there, but...
Well, let's back up for a second, all right? Before we get into favorite hardcore matches, let's define what we think hardcore is.
All right.
In this day and age, I feel like it's kind of a catch-all. Anytime that there's a, you know, somebody hits somebody with a chair, it's hardcore. Or if somebody, you know, like does six flips off the top rope and lands on somebody, it's hardcore. So what do you consider hardcore wrestling?
Okay. So there's like... All right. So when you bring out the thumbtacks, when you bring out a barbed wire baseball bat, you know, when you're using chairs, ladders, you know, tables, ladders, chairs, that whole kind of thing, you know, flaming tables, all that kind of stuff. When there's fire involved, when there's barbed wire involved, it's definitely hardcore wrestling or anything where you're definitely bleeding, pretty much.
Oh. All right. Now, I kind of see it as if you have a certain set of rules. A regular wrestling match, you know, if somebody uses a chair, a table, a ladder, whatever, you get disqualified. So anything in that disqualification realm, you know, minus just someone coming down and interfering. So kind of what you're saying, tables, ladders, chairs, brass knuckles, almost anything on a pole that they have, minus Judy Bagwell. But I definitely think that's where you're starting to get into the realm of hardcore in today's day and age. But also, if you just see like a very brutal, you know, people punching each other in the face, like, you know, Mick Foley, that happened several times where people just would punch him so hard. And you're getting into the realm of hardcore. So I know you got ready to talk about some of your favorite hardcore matches. So I just wanted to have a template of what makes a match hardcore.
Sure, definitely. I mean, because you know, in this day and age, too, you can almost rank them as, like, hardcore A, B, and C. As like, A is the really violent crap, B, the okay stuff, and C, like, the WWE stuff of what they give you as hardcore. But, you know, they all fit into a different kind of a realm, but pretty much, we know what we're talking about when we're talking about hardcore. So, Jonathan, I mean, there's been a lot of matches out there, guys. There's been plenty of hardcore matches. I have a few we want to bring up, and hey, if we forget some, just let us know. Tell us what your favorite one was. But Jonathan, off the top of the bat, the number one, the number one hardcore match I think I've seen in my lifetime, and this is saying a lot, is definitely the Hell in the Cell Taker versus Foley. Only for the fact of what you saw live on TV. I witnessed this live. I didn't watch it on a tape or whatnot. I was watching this in my room. I don't know how old I was, probably in my early teens, watching this. And it's definitely that loss of innocence night because I almost watched a man die live on TV. I mean, granted, it wasn't the craziest match. It just the spots in the match with him going off the cage twice, the tooth through the nose, all that crap. I mean, that's exactly how you sum it up right there. I mean, just the reaction of what you saw. I mean, if you didn't jump watching this match live and just feel sorry for what's going on, or even have a bit of emotion thinking that this man is dead, Mick Foley's dead, you know, I don't know. It definitely brought out the emotions, and I don't know. I don't think there's anything that can ever beat this that happened live on TV. I don't know. What do you think?
I love that match. It's one that's going to go down in the ages. And if you look at that match, this is what we're talking about. It was hardcore, but there was no, you know, no one was bleeding profusely. You know, Mick Foley had his tooth through his nose and there was some blood there, but to be honest, I mean, he may have had internal bleeding. Let's just get down to the obvious here, but at the end of the day, it was almost a movie in the way that it was told. That match.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was like more spots than it was like nonstop beating each other up, and those spots, man, were pretty brutal. That you needed that little breath of fresh air in between each one to just like soak up what the hell you just witnessed on TV.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say that you know, Undertaker and Mick Foley are never ever going to be confused with people who aren't hardcore. I think that both of them have done hardcore wrestling and given its due diligence. But the match that I'm going to talk about is probably two people that you may not think about whenever you think of hardcore wrestling. And that was a famous match between Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle. It was at King of the Ring. And if you have not watched this match or the match we just mentioned, get on your WWE Network right now and look these up, because I assure you, if you're squeamish, you may not want to watch them, but they are just amazing matches. And who would have ever thought that Shane McMahon would have been on our hardcore wrestling podcast? But
you got to give him credit, man. Ugh, just what he went through, right?
Yeah, and I think that he had a lot of proof, because everybody wanted to say that he was the boss's son, and you know, he doesn't have to work that hard and blah, blah, blah. But I saw that man, I saw Kurt Angle pick him up and try to throw him, unsuccessfully, might I add, several times through plate glass until he finally just grabbed his head and rammed it through there. And it was just, it is, from start to finish, the most probably physical match that I think I've ever seen in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah, Shane McMahon definitely earned his stripes that night. I mean, nobody ever questioned him again if he wanted to be in a match. It's like, all right, man, if you want to do it, go ahead. You know, I definitely didn't expect that at all. It was one of those shocker moments to where, you know, it wasn't as crazy as Taker and Foley, but I mean, still, he did some stuff where it was like, wow, okay, all right. I guess you're really doing it, you know, like just those kind of reactions to where, you know, it wasn't through a cage or whatever, but I mean, still, like you said, he went through the glass and whatnot, but, you know, like he earned his stripes. That's what I'm pretty much trying to get at.
And he went toe-to-toe with Kurt Angle, who is absolutely no slouch when it comes to professional wrestling and amateur wrestling and Olympic wrestling. He took Kurt Angle to his limit, and I think that it will definitely go down as one of the greatest hardcore matches of all time. Is there any others that you can think of that really strike a chord with you as far as hardcore wrestling goes?
Sure. Well, I know we're probably going to get some slack on this one because, you know, probably some hardcore fans out there be like, oh, you know, well, you haven't seen this and whatnot. Well, whatever. Like I said, there's thousands of matches out there. I'm not going to pick them all, so I'm just picking the few that stand out. But you have to give credit to the TLC matches with the Dudleys, Hardys, and Edge and Christian. They pretty much invented it. You know, these kind of matches weren't, you know, blood and gory and whatnot, but they were so innovative for what they were doing. Nobody else did it before them in the WWE on a pay-per-view, and it was definitely a classic not to be beat. What do you think about the whole TLC and the Dudleys, Hardys, and Edge and Christian?
Yeah, I think that WWE at that point was kind of trying to make hardcore wrestling their own. At that point, they were trying to grab some of those people, that 18 to 35 male demographic, some of the edgier people that really enjoyed ECW. WWE wasn't going to take everything from ECW, but they were going to really try to replicate some of that stuff. So with these matches, you had the physicality of, say, a match between Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit in an ECW arena. You add the use of weapons as like a Sandman match or, you know, a Dudley Boys tables match. And you just had great storytelling, which Paul Heyman was known for in ECW. So it really added almost every element that fans enjoyed from ECW and put it in a WWE setting, which was more controlled and really just made for a beautiful match. And anytime that these three teams got together, it was just magic.
Definitely, Jonathan. I mean, guys, we could keep going on and on about these matches, but just a few off the top of our head. What are a few off the top of your head? I mean, let us know. Like we said, tweet us, Facebook us. We are out there in social media. Guys, you can just Google us if we don't get the point across. But find us. Let us know what you're thinking about the show. Comment on the show. You know, let us hear what you have to say. And, Jonathan, I know we talked barely a handful of matches. But, you know, out of all these kind of matches, you know, there's different types of hardcore matches. Let's talk about what are some of your favorite hardcore matches.
Okay. I would say any cage match really is a big one for me. I I enjoyed the big blue cage back in the day.
Definitely.
I enjoyed the, you know, kind of, I wanted to say like fence wire cage that they had during the Attitude Era that was kind of flimsy, but still got the job done. And then, you know, all the way up into the incarnation of the Hell in the Cell matches. I think any of those are really kind of hardcore because that doesn't give. When people talk about the ring, they say, oh, well, it's springy or the ropes are springy or whatever. Those matches, the Hell in the Cell, the cage matches, are typically made, I'll even go a step further and say the Elimination Chamber, that it's all steel, it's all metal, and there's really no give to that. So those are some of the matches that I think are hardcore. I know that there aren't people with, you know, walking out of there holding their intestines in their hand, but I definitely think that it's hardcore wrestling. And as I said, it's hardcore wrestling that's controlled. Controlled chaos is what Michael Cole used to say. So I really appreciate the cage matches as far as hardcore wrestling goes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so many ones. I'm a big fan of the strap matches where they tie the two guys, or, you know, with their hands with the strap, and they got to fight each other, and I like that kind of stuff. You know, the classic matches with Dusty Rhodes and is it a strap match or bull show? What is it? Where they been?
There's the Texas bull rope match. Bull rope,
yes, that.
Yeah.
And then in recent times too, they just use like a leather strap or whatever and that. But you know, stuff like that's always fun to watch. What I did hate, I'll tell you something that I hated, is that, remember the Inferno matches? Even the most recent one with Bray Wyatt, his Inferno match a few years ago, that was horrible. It was just like, ooh, it's gonna be fire, and then it's just like, it's supposed to keep everybody out. Then people actually ended up getting in the ring, and it was like, it was more of a novelty than it was anything hardcore. So I think the Inferno match probably have to be the worst type of, I don't know, I guess you want to put it, encapsulate it in the hardcore realm. But were there any ones that are just really bad, like the Inferno match?
You know, anytime that there was a First Blood match, and this was more really, I mean, I remember this more in WWE, but the ones that made me shake my head was always whenever it was like a masked wrestler going against a non-masked wrestler in a First Blood match. Mankind went against The Undertaker, I think, in one, if I'm not mistaken. And it was just like, Mankind wears a mask. How is he going to bleed? Like, and obviously, I think he ended up losing the match, which made even less sense. But those really kind of just, I wasn't a huge fan of that. Also, you know, there was the one Elimination Chamber match. It was on the infamous December to Dismember pay-per-view, and it was a hardcore Elimination Chamber match where, like, inside the chamber there were, you know, a steel chair, a Singapore cane, I forget what all was in there, but it was just a terrible, terrible match. I can't say enough about it. I can't say anything good about it. I'll just say that, so I won't say anything at all. How about that?
Well, there you go. Well, I'll tell you, everybody listening right now, if you want to go back to old shows, listen to the Al Snow show, because he even brings up the whole dog kennel match and how horrible that went through. I don't want to give it away because you have to hear it from him. So go back, find Al Snow on our website, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com, and I'll listen to that, because I know he definitely brings it up in there. You just racked my memory, so I think that was pretty good if people go back and check that out. But Jonathan, over the time with WWE, at least, because that's pretty much what we're talking about, and any other major company, because, I mean, when you get down to it with Japan, CZW, and all this other stuff, there's a lot of crazy shit going on. You get one S-bomb a show, but, you know, a lot of stuff going on in there. But really, during the Attitude Era, you know, people were embracing the hardcore with ECW and whatnot, so they had the Hardcore Championship in WWE. Now, Jonathan, was it really hardcore, or was it just too PG? Because it wasn't like, you know, I like the whole 24/7 rule, but even then, they, you know, it was like, oh, I hit you with a trash can, I pin you. And it was like, did it kill hardcore a little bit with that, or what?
I think that at that time, they were definitely capitalizing. They had people like Raven, they had people like Tommy Dreamer, Rhino. These guys were coming in, they were bringing legitimacy to that title, but they also had some comedy with it. If you remember, there was Crash Holly was part of it. You had people like Edge and Christian that were, you know, people that you wouldn't necessarily call hardcore wrestlers. And at the end of the day, I think it became a watered-down version. But in the beginning, they had good, you know, good thoughts for this title and good aspirations. But it really, those matches don't really stick out to me as true hardcore matches, just because they were using, you know, they were throwing people into drink machines backstage or throwing them onto cars or whatever. That didn't necessarily make it hardcore to me. It's it's more about the story and less about like the weapons and stuff. And one that, you know, we didn't really talk about, but it's something that I also think was amazing, was the Edge versus Mick Foley WrestleMania 21 match. If you have not seen that match, it's definitely hardcore, but you have to, or actually that's WrestleMania 22. I'm so sorry. But if you go back and watch that, it's not just the match that gets you, it's the actual story behind it. And I would suggest that match to anybody that could watch that. It's WrestleMania 22, Edge versus Mick Foley. And so to me, sometimes the storyline is even more important than the physicality. You could still have a hardcore match without all that blood and guts.
Definitely. And I mean, you know, I don't know. I love the idea. I love the championship. You know, it could have worked if it was for guys only in, like, you know, a tables match, a ladder, you know, if they just kept it to those matches. They made it silly, and then it just, yeah, it definitely lost its luster, if you will. And then even, like, you know, other companies had, like, you know, TNA, WCW had it. TNA, did they have a hardcore championship, or they turned it into, like, wasn't necessarily hardcore, though, right? It was something else?
Yeah, it was just a... I don't remember exactly. They had, like, because they constantly had those Clockwork Orange matches with Raven and Abyss, and, you know, that, but, you know, they were
confusing us. They're confusing us. Stop confusing us, promotions. We're trying to make it easy.
They were definitely, TNA, I'll give them this, they were definitely doing something that hadn't been done really since ECW. It was putting more of a focus on that, and they were giving people variety. They were giving them X Division matches. They were giving them, you know, Legends Wrestling for the heavyweight championship. But then they were also using that niche market, and they were trying to promote some hardcore wrestling. So I will give TNA, I won't do this a lot, but I will give them an A for effort in that part, because I really enjoyed some of the hardcore stuff they were doing in TNA.
All right, well, guys, hardcore this, hardcore that. Jonathan, we talked matches, we talked some titles, we talked some promotions, but how about some hardcore wrestlers? A little while ago, we spoke with one of the most hardcore wrestlers around, Sabu. Jonathan, I mentioned Cactus Jack, one of my heroes, one of my fan favorites. What about you? I mean, are there some hardcore wrestlers that stick out to you that are like, you talk about this guy and it's just, yep, he's just totally straight up hardcore. He's a hardcore wrestler. Any names come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say Bruiser Brody is one of the big names for me. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see him that much, except for, you know, now I can go back and watch some of the footage and stuff. But he was a huge man, and, you know, his forehead was all cut to shreds because of hardcore wrestling. And he was hardcore. Man. Yeah, he was hardcore before hardcore was cool. And unfortunately, he died in Puerto Rico getting stabbed to death in a locker room. So if that's not hardcore, I don't know what it is. So I would say he comes to mind. Also, somebody who made a living on the independent scene being a hardcore wrestler and even garnered a lot of fame in the movie The Wrestler starring Mickey Rourke was none other than the Necro Butcher. He's done pretty much everything from staple guns to thumbtacks to, you know, light bulbs, you name it. This guy is, when I think of hardcore wrestling, his name always comes to mind.
Man, I'm just picturing these guys in their matches, and I'm like, man, I don't know how much you would have to pay me to do that kind of stuff to myself, let alone my opponent. You know, just like, I just remember picturing the Necro Butcher, like, in his matches. crazy, man. I wish I could just know what their paycheck looks like compared to, you know, John Doe, who wrestled a regular match before him. You know, is he getting paid like thousands of dollars more, $100 more, or like $5 more, and he's still doing, you know, these crazy matches? And, you know, speaking of foreheads, you brought up like Abdul the Butcher, man. This dude's forehead is just beyond effed up. Even like, you know, rest his soul, Dusty Rhodes, his forehead's another guy that's messed up. A lot of these guys that just bladed through the years on their heads, man, their foreheads are just, I don't even know how to explain it. They're just messed up, pretty much.
Yeah, another one that we have failed to talk about really is New Jack from ECW. Yeah,
another forehead, yep.
Yeah,
these guys, man, I don't know how they do it, Jonathan. How do they go through day in, day out? Just to put their body on the line. And it's like, in a regular match, okay, they put their body on the line. They can get hurt. They can break a leg, break ribs, do this, and do that. But these guys are like staple guns, glass, light bulbs, barbed wire. You can, I don't know. It's crazy to think of some of the stuff that they do and to do it for you, the fans.
Yeah, and if you are a fan of hardcore wrestling, or maybe you're just getting into hardcore wrestling now, or if you're just wanting to know more about it, I implore all of you to go out and listen to the mass transit incident involving New Jack. It happened. Unfortunately, it's one of the bad things that happened in professional wrestling, but it was definitely one of those times where I think that the line got crossed. And if you're listening to this now, you probably know what I'm talking about. But if not, just look it up, and then you can discuss it amongst yourself. And then, you know, send us a tweet or call us on the hotline whenever you when you find out more about the mass transit incident.
That's right. Guys, gals, anybody listening, let us know who your favorite hardcore wrestler was, too. Like I said, we want to keep it interactive. Tweet us, Facebook us, anything. Let us know who you're thinking about, and we'll comment about it, too. We want to get interactive with you guys. Call the hotline like we played earlier. Just let us know. But, Jonathan, overall, is hardcore a thing of the past, or do you see it sticking around for you know, the end of days?
You know, I think that hardcore wrestling had its time and place in this era of professional wrestling, whether it be independent wrestling, whether it be WWE. I think that they realize that they have certain demographics that they have to fill, and most of them do not require the blood and guts of days gone by hardcore wrestling. I think that they can get by with incredible athleticism. You've got the independent scene that's just kind of on fire right now. And with WWE, they have so many sponsors and kid-friendly demographics that they can't really go all out, balls to the wall like they used to. So I think that as of right now, hardcore wrestling is becoming a thing of the past.
Well, we shall see, Jonathan. And Jonathan, coming up next week, for everybody listening, we have another kind of hardcore wrestler of the past, definitely an ECW original, if you will, kind of a new original, Rhino. Rhino's going to be joining us on the show. And Jonathan, you want to tell them why everybody should stick around and listen next week?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have none other than Rhino and CTWE's, I'm going to call him the man in charge, Nick D'Angelo, is also going to be joining us. And the reason that you want to listen to this episode more than anything is that Steve and I will be giving away two tickets to the September 19th show at CTWE. And here's the kicker, Steve. When we give away things, we don't just give you two tickets in the nosebleed. These are two front row tickets to CTWE show in Stratford, Connecticut on September 19th. You do not want to miss this show. It's going to be an amazing one.
That's right, guys. Head on over to CTWEPro.com for more information. We're going to be there, Jonathan. That's what we do. We go to shows. We're located in the Northeast, the Poughkeepsie area, the Northeast corridor of professional wrestling. So we go to everything, Jonathan. We love going to local shows. We love going to the bigger shows. Not so much the hardcore shows as we talked about today, but hey, we're down to do anything. We're marks. We're fans. We love and enjoy the sport of pro wrestling. So guys, each and every week, we're doing this We're doing it for free, actually. So make sure you like us, you follow us, you subscribe to us, write a review for us on iTunes. And every little bit helps. Help us help you. Help you help us. Just, you know, hey, we love you guys. So anything you could do out there, whether it's a retweet, a like, a follow, a poke, hey, just let us know you're out there, and we'll see you next week, right?
That's the show for today. We want to thank you all for listening.
Each and every week, we do this show free of charge for you, the fans.
Now, if you're wondering how to repay us for all this amazing content, we have just the thing.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, and while you're there, be sure to rate us and give us a good review.
And if you're looking for more information about AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com.
We're all over social media, Jonathan. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and more. Just Google it.
And if you're an AWP super fan, you can also show your support by going over to ProWrestlingTees.com and buying one of our official AWP shirts. Also, you can find out how to sponsor us. If you feel so inclined, you can find out all that information on our website as well.
That's right. We couldn't do the show without any of you. So tune in next week for
another wrestling podcast.